this summer. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kill It. I am Dylan Collins, and I have finally gone over the edge. From the brilliant minds behind You've Got Hate Mail, the object of the game is simple. I give you weapons, you give me blood. I want you to kill each other. The last one standing will get the ultimate prize. What happens when a once brilliant show creator goes too far? You win the chance to judge next season. In this new blockbuster, 16 auditioners all compete for the coveted spot at the season 2 judge. Many will die, but only one will survive. Who will become the next Judge Dreaded? Spring 2013.
Up first on this monologue is Janie Gurley, 07.
They bought it. Incredible. One of my worst performances of my career, and they never doubted it for a second. How could I possibly be expected to handle school on a day like this? This is my 9th sick day this semester. It's getting pretty tough coming up with new illnesses. If I go for 10, I'm probably going to barf up a lung, so better make this one count. The key to faking out the parents is a clammy hands. It's a good non-specific symptom. I'm a big believer in it. A lot of people will tell you that a good phony fever is a deadlock, but you get a nervous mother, you could wind up in a doctor's office. That's worse than school. You fake a stomach cramp, and then when you're bent over, moaning and wailing, you lick your palms. It's a little childish and stupid, but then, so is high school. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. I do have a test today, that wasn't bullshit. It's on European socialism. I mean, really, what's the point? I'm not European. I don't plan on being European, so who gives a crap if they're socialists? They could be fascist anarchists, and it still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car. It's not that I condone fascism or any ism, for that matter. Isms, in my opinion, are not good. A person should not believe in an ism. He should believe in himself. I quote John Lennon. I don't believe in the Beatles. I just believe in me. A good point there. After all, he was the walrus. I could be the walrus. Still have to bum rides off of people.
Up next is Jeffers!
They bought it. Incredible! One of the worst performances of my career, and they never doubted it for a second. How could I possibly be expected to handle school on a day like this? This is my 9th sick day this semester. It's getting pretty tough coming up with new illnesses. If I go for 10, I'm probably gonna have to barf up a lung, so I better make this one count. The key to faking out the parents is the clammy hands. It's a good non-specific symptom. I'm a big believer in it. A lot of people will tell you that a good phony fever is a dead lock. But, you get the nervous mother, you could wind up in a doctor's office. That's worse than school. You fake a stomach cramp, and when you're bent over, moaning and wailing, you lick your palms. It's a little childish and stupid, but then, so is high school. Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. I do have a test today that wasn't bullshit. It's on European socialism. I mean, really, what's the point? I'm not European. I don't plan on being European, so who gives a crap if they're socialists? They could be fascist, anarchist, and it still wouldn't change the fact that I don't own a car. It's not that I condone fascism or any ism for that matter. Isms, in my opinion, are not good. A person should not believe in an ism. He should believe in himself. I quote John Lesson. I don't believe in Beatles, I just believe in me. A good point there. After all, he was a walrus. I could be a walrus. I'd still have to bum rides off of people.
I guess there was a typo in that. I think it was supposed to be John Lennon. Sorry about that.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure John Lesson was a part of the Beatles, don't you think so?
Yeah, John Lesson, John Legend, John Lennon. They were all the Beatles. They're all the same person.
It's just the less spoken about one.
Janie, I liked your read a lot. You were like crafty but still likable. I enjoyed your read a lot. I don't actually have a lot to say about it. What did you think?
I thought so too. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was good. It wasn't like too big, nor was it too small, I guess.
This is a solid read.
It was solid. Good job.
Jeffers, to me, you sounded a little bit evil for, like, this is Ferris Bueller, so it's like the lead, and he's kind of like sneaky, but he's still likable, and you sounded kind of like an evil, like, anime villain a little bit. Like, it was a little bit evil for me sounding. I wasn't sure why you sang that one word either. It kind of threw me off a little. What did you think?
I don't think it really matters. I think I kind of agree. Like, Ferris is a very mischievous character, but it didn't really come off as just like a childish prank. But you're not like trying to be Ferris or anything, I understand. However, the singing the words, I don't know, maybe is that from the whole, in brackets it says singing in the shower, is that what that was supposed to be?
Maybe.
Because that would throw me off if I got something and I'm reading it and I'm like, wait, do you want me to sing this part? Like, do you want me to sing the rest of it?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so I understand if that was the deal. But
then he didn't. So he only sang that one word, though.
Just the one word. But yeah, so yeah, I guess, right? So if you're gonna commit to something like singing, you commit or you don't commit. That's how that happens. Or else you're just gonna confuse your audience. That would be me.
But you're easily confused at the best of times.
At the best, yeah. Yes, I actually can't disagree with that, so...
Did you pick a winner?
Yes, I did.
Who did you pick?
I picked, Janie.
I also picked Janie, and it wasn't because of the singing line. It was just the overall read. I liked hers better. So,
yeah,
they get 16 points, which is 158.5 they are at now. Nice, utterly absurd team. We're moving on to 1987. Do you want to read? Do you want to set up the scene for Roxanne?
Roxanne!
You won't have to put on a red light!
Old man! Okay, sorry. Okay. Let's just break out into the police.
I think so.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I can read it. All I'm right. Getting so good at this
I believe
now.
In you.
Oh, God. Okay. So the next film is Roxanne, made in 1987. The screenwriter is Steve Martin.
I didn't know he wrote that.
Apparently so.
See, I learned something.
Yeah, and he could play the banjo. That's
yeah.
What I know. Yeah. Anyways.
He also used to work at Disneyland.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. Did you know he was on The Muppet Show?
I did not know that.
This is just his resume.
I'm learning so much.
We should just follow him and just get him jobs.
I think so.
Anyways, so it's 20 elongated nose joke insults. Oh, yeah, that sounds like Steve Martin. You can read the next part.
Modern day Cyrano, C.D. Bales. Was it because you didn't know how to pronounce Cyrano?
Yeah.
Modern day Cyrano, C.D. Bales suggested at least 20 better insults about his elongated nose to an insulting, boorish, obnoxious, and drunken, bullying customer in a crowded bar who called him Big Nose. His response was listened to by the cheering crowd as they counted out his 20 insults, actually 25. And we have Zigbar on this monologue. I'm excited to hear this one. Let's,
Me too.
Let's listen.
All right, 20-something betters. Here it goes. Let's start with the obvious. Excuse me, is that your nose or did a bus park on your face? Meteorological. Everybody take cover, she's going to blow. Fashionable. You know, you could de-emphasize your nose if you wore something larger. Like Wyoming. Personal. Well, here we are. Just the three of us. Punctual. All right, Delman, your nose was on time, but you were 15 minutes late. Envious. Oh, I wish I were you. Gosh, to be able to smell your own ear. Naughty. Pardon me, sir. Some of the ladies have asked if you wouldn't mind putting that thing away. Philosophical. You know, it's not the size of the nose that's important. It's what's inside it that matters. Humorous. Laugh, and the world laughs with you. Sneeze, and it's goodbye, Seattle. Commercial. Hi, I'm Earl Squeeb. And I can paint that nose for $39.95. polite! Would you mind not bobbing your head? The, orchestra keeps changing tempo. Melodic. Everybody, he's got the whole world in his nose. Sympathetic. Oh, what happened? Did your parents lose a bet with God? Complimentary. You must love the little birdies to give them this to perch on. Scientific. Say, does this thing influence the tides? Obscure. Whoa, I'd hate to see the grindstone. Well, think about it. Inquiring, when you stop and smell the flowers, are they afraid? French, sir, the pigs have refused to find any truffles until you leave. Pornographic, finally, a man who can satisfy two women at once. How many is that? Religious, the Lord giveth, and he just kept on giving, didn't he? Disgusting. Say, who mows your nose hair? Paranoid, keep that guy away from my cocaine. Aromatic. It must be wonderful to wake up in the morning and smell the coffee in Brazil. Appreciative. Oh, how original. Most people just have their teeth capped. All right? Dirty. Your name wouldn't be Dick, would it? You smart-ass son of a bitch. Flat-faced, flat-nosed, flat-head. Has he fallen yet?
What is the next one?
That is Zigbar. The next one is 1988 Accused. The Accused for 18 Cute. Points. But Zigbar was the only one on that one, so he gets 14 points for his team, which is Team Oscar. So they are at 114.5 now.
Oh, did they choose Oscar, like the Oscar award?
Yes.
Oh,
I believe so.
I was just thinking of my friend Oscar this whole time.
You actually know a human being named Oscar?
Yeah, I do.
I've never known a human named Oscar.
I know. He's kind of weird.
Maybe he doesn't really exist. Okay, 1988, The Accused, 18 points. Melly and Reed are on this one. Do you want to set it up? Or do you want me to?
Yes, I want to say it.
Ooh, the word rape is in this one. Let me do
it. That is exactly what I said. Stop
Go
it.
Ahead.
You're totally reading my mind.
Go ahead.
Okay. Damn it.
I can tell by your ooh.
Damn it. Okay. So this monologue is from The Accused, 1988. Screenwriters Tom Tapor.
I don't know. Probably.
I'm going to make it this time. Anyways.
Kelly Kapoor.
Is that nothing in quotation marks? Prosecuting Deputy DA Catherine Murphy, Kelly McGillis, presented a forceful court argument against the two men who encouraged the rape of her client, Sarah Tobias, like that name that's in Arrested Development, isn't that it?
Yeah, Tobias, I think.
Yeah, who's played by Jodie Foster in mid-April 1987.
Nowhere in this does it say there were two men. We don't know how many men there were because I've never seen the movie. Unless you've seen the movie.
Oh, did I say two men?
Yeah, but you were just pleased to have gotten to say the word rape.
No. Oh, sorry. See, that's what I mean by like, I'll just throw in words.
It's okay. That works.
Sorry, by the men. That's where I got confused. It's plural, so I immediately just thought two.
It might be two. Melly and Reed are both on this one. Melly is up first. Let's listen to Melly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paulson has told you that the testimony of Sarah Tobias is nothing. Sarah Tobias was raped, but that is nothing. She was cut and bruised and terrorized, but that's nothing. All of it happened in front of a howling crowd, and that is nothing. Well, it may be nothing to Mr. Paulson, but it is not nothing to Sarah Tobias, and I don't believe that it's nothing to you. Next, Mr. Paulson tried to convince you that Kenneth Joyce was the only one in that room who knew that Sarah Tobias was being raped. The only one. Now, you watched Kenneth Joyce. How did he strike you? Did he seem especially sensitive, especially observant? Did he seem so remarkable that you said to yourselves, of course, this man would notice things other people wouldn't? Do you believe that Kenneth Joyce saw something in that room that those three men didn't see? in all that time that Sarah was pinned down on that pinball machine that other people didn't know? Kenneth Joyce confessed to you that he watched a rape and did nothing. He told you that everyone in that bar behaved badly, and he was right. But no matter how immoral it may be, it is not the crime of criminal solicitation to walk away from a rape. And it is not the crime of criminal solicitation to silently watch a rape. But it is the crime of criminal solicitation to induce, or entreat, or encourage, or persuade another person to commit a rape. Hold her down. Stick it to her. Make her moan. These three men did worse than nothing. They cheered and they clapped and they rooted the others on. They made sure that Sarah Tobias was raped and raped and raped. Now you tell me, is that nothing?
Reed's up next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paulson has told you that the testimony of Sarah Tobias is nothing. Sarah Tobias was raped, but that is nothing. She was cut and bruised and terrorized, but that is nothing. All of it happened in front of a howling crowd, and that is nothing. Well, it may be nothing to Mr. Paulson, but it is not nothing to Sarah Tobias, and I don't believe it is nothing to you. Next, Mr. Paulson tried to convince you that Kenneth Joyce was the only one in that room who knew that Sarah Tobias was being raped. The only one. Now, you watched Kenneth Joyce. How did he strike you? Did he seem especially sensitive? Especially observant? Did he seem so remarkable that you said to yourselves, of course, this man would notice things other people wouldn't? Do you believe that Kenneth Joyce saw something in that room that those three men did not see? In all the time that Sarah was pinned down on that pinball machine, that other people didn't know? Kenneth Joyce confessed to you that he watched a rape and did nothing. He told you that everyone in that bar behaved badly, and he was right. But no matter how immoral it may be, it is not the crime of criminal solicitation to walk away from a rape. It is not the crime of criminal solicitation to silently watch a rape. But it is the crime of criminal solicitation to induce or entreat or encourage or persuade another person to commit a rape. Hold her down! Stick it to her! Make her moan! These three men did worse than nothing. They cheered, and they clapped, and they rooted the others on. They made sure that Sarah Tobias was raped, and raped, and raped! Now, you tell me, is that nothing?
All right, that was Melly and Reed.
Yes, it was.
Both of those were really good. I liked them both a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I guess we'll start with Melly. Do you want to start, or do you want me to?
I can start again.
Okay, go for it.
Hey, Melly, I thought it was really good. I thought you did a good job. The one thing that I'm just going to nitpick was the pausing. It's not necessarily like you always have to put a pause wherever there's a comma or like not a comma, but generally, I just found that your pauses were just making it just a little bit too stiff at the beginning. In the end, they weren't like emphasizing what you're probably trying to emphasize. But it was a good try. And other than that, though, like later on, I think you did a really good job.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It sounded really legit. I could totally picture you in this scene. To me, it was really believable. It wasn't Reedy at all. I really liked it. That's not as specific as Scarlett's, but that's what I got.
Well, that's why I said it was nitpicking.
Okay, let's go move on to Reed then.
Start.
Okay, I love the build at the end. Like it gave me chills. It didn't start off as strong for me when you were like, "It is not nothing to Sarah Tobias." It sounded like a little snooty, but the build at the end I love so much. it got really strong at the end. What did you think?
The one thing that I really liked was the emphasis you put on the word that at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And where was it? Just the whole, just like Sarah Tobias was raped, but that is nothing, like that type of emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. And I really liked the build at the end. And I thought the pacing was really well done. And it was probably, yeah, it was really, really good.
This one's hard for me because overall I liked one a little better, but another one made me like feel more. So I'm trying to figure out which one I preferred. I'm having a little bit of trouble on this one.
Do you want to think? Because I know which one I prefer.
Yeah, you say which one you prefer while I think.
Okay, well, I preferred Reed's, right? That was the other person?
It was Reed and Melly were the two that were
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. I preferred Reed's just because I guess it might be because it was more like how I pictured it in my head, but not necessarily. I just liked the buildup and the way you paced it and emphasized certain words, and that was good for me.
I think as far as creating a memorable scenes, they were both really good, so this is really close. But I think Reed's I preferred a little bit more as well. So Reed's team gets 18 points. So 18 plus 58 is 176. So Team Utterly Absurd is at 176.5. We have one more monologue. There's three people on it. It's from Dead Poets Society. It's worth 20 points. Do you want to set it up?
Actually, you know what? You can take this.
All right. Dead Poets Society, 1989, screenwriter Tom Shulman, inspiring but unorthodox Welton Academy English teacher John Keating spoke to his male prep students after taking them out of the classroom into the main entranceway or hallway. He had them first discuss the phrase carpe diem, or seize the day, from a hymnal, page 542, then had them approach glass display cases filled with trophies, footballs, and team pictures. He emphasized that they should make the most of their short lives. So, Copper is up first on this one.
Ooh.
Let's listen.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Who knows where that comes from? Anybody? Not a clue? It's from a poem by Walt Whitman about Mr. Abraham Lincoln. Now, in this class, you can either call me Mr. Keating, or, if you're slightly more daring, Oh, Captain, my Captain. Now, let me dispel a few rumors so they don't fester into facts. Yes, I too attended Helton and survived. And no, at the time, I was not the mental giant you see before you. I was the intellectual equivalent of a 98-pound weakling. I would go to the beach and people would kick copies of Byron in my face. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means? Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines? Because we are food for the worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. Now, I would like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked by them many times, but I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they? Same haircuts, full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. Do you hear it? Carp. Hear it? Carp. Carp diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary.
Jinxers is up next. And Scarlet's going to make fish noises while we set it up. They can't hear you, so they're just going to assume that you are.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Who knows where that comes from? Anybody? Not a clue. It's from a poem by Walt Whitman about Mr. Abraham Lincoln. Now, in this class, you can either call me Mr. Keating, or, if you're slightly more daring, Oh, Captain, my Captain. Now, Let me dispel a few rumors so they don't fester into facts. Yes, I too attended Hellton and survived. And no, at that time I was not the mental giant you see before you. I was the intellectual equivalent of a 98-pound weakling. I would go to the beach, and people would kick copies of Byron in my face. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means? Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines? Because we are food for worms, lads. Because, believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day gonna stop breathing, turn cold, and die. Now, I would like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces of the past. You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they? Same haircuts, full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in. Listen. Do you hear it? Carpe. Hear it? Carpe. Carpe diem. Seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary.
And Russ, also on this monologue.
Oh, Captain, my Captain. Who knows where that comes from? Anybody? Not a clue? It's from a poem by Walt Whitman about Mr. Abraham Lincoln. Now, in this class, you can either call me Mr. Keating, or, if you're slightly more daring, Oh, Captain, my Captain. Now, let me dispel a few rumors so they don't fester into facts. Yes, I too attended Hellton, and survived. And no, at that time, I was not the mental giant you see before you. I was the intellectual equivalent of a 98-pound weakling. I would go to the beach and people would kick copies of Byron in my face. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means? Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. Why does the writer use these lines? Because we are food for worms, lads. Because believe it or not, each and every one of us in this room is one day going to stop breathing, turn cold, and die. Now, I would like you to step forward over here and peruse some of the faces from the past. You've walked past them many times. I don't think you've really looked at them. They're not that different from you, are they? Same haircuts. Full of hormones, just like you. Invincible, just like you feel. The world is their oyster. They believe they're destined for great things, just like many of you. Their eyes are full of hope, just like you. Did they wait until it was too late to make from their lives even one iota of what they were capable? Because you see, gentlemen, these boys are now fertilizing daffodils. But if you listen real close, you can hear them whisper their legacy to you. Go on, lean in, listen. Do you hear it? Carpe. Hear it? Carpe. seize the day, boys. Make your lives extraordinary.
Okay, that was the last one of the evening. It's worth 20 points, Scarlett.
Ooh, that's a lot.
I know. Let's start with Copper. Copper, this was a really strong read, but Carpe Diem being such a central theme for this monologue, you have to pronounce it correctly. It's Carpe, not Carp. And it takes on a whole nother context when you're whispering Carp. Carp. So
I was going to make fish noises.
She was going to make fish noises, but she couldn't figure out how.
Yeah, I don't know how to do it.
She has been on the asphalt too long. She's not.
I can't say anything because I pronounced like asphalt. Exactly. Even though that is how they pronounce it in my area. But
if you're going to do a monologue and it's a word you so clearly don't understand how to pronounce, you should definitely look it up because it's a really central theme to the monologue. And if I remember, it's a central theme to the entire movie. So that took away from it a little bit for me, but I thought it was a good read. What did you think?
I thought it was a good read, too. I feel like you've greatly improved since the last time I heard you.
Oh, she's been talking all night. She's like, I can't wait to hear Copper, see if he's improved.
I know.
And
I know.
The verdict is?
Clear. You've grown, my son.
Oh, shit. You liked it?
Yeah, I thought it was right.
Nice. Let's talk about Jinxers.
Woo!
You can start on this one.
My start?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, the first thing that popped into my head was like, wow, this sounds almost just like Copper's. So, like, I don't know what it was, but everyone was just kind of acting it out the same way. But that's cool. You know, it works. I think it's a really fun monologue to do just in general, and I thought you did a good job.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the whispering might have been... The whispering to me was, like, one of the hardest parts because, like, it's hard to take someone seriously when they're whispering carp.
Yeah.
Or carpe. But, you know.
I actually really liked the whispering that he did. It was my favorite of the whispering.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it really made me, like, interested to where he was going with that.
Mm.
And it sounded like I see dead people.
Oh.
I liked it. I liked the read a lot.
You like whispers.
Apparently I do.
This has been established near the beginning. We'll I like the breathiness of people's voices.
We'll talk about that later, Scarlett.
Ooh.
The read itself was a little bit slow for me. It got a little boring at the beginning, but it transitioned nicely into like the whispering. And it the longer it went, the more I got into it. Russ, I've been sort of hard on you this show because I haven't been a fan of your voices. But this, when it's just your voice and the straight-up acting, this is the best thing I've heard from you all show, I think, all season. I really love your read on this. You were, like, perfect for this monologue. And I think – I keep telling people you need to pick monologues that work for your voice, and I think you did an amazing job of picking a monologue that you knew you could deliver on. And this was – I thought this was a fantastic read. What did you think?
I think it was, too. I genuinely was just like, wow, he actually sounds like a teacher. And then to me, this is my favorite whispering.
Oh.
Because when you were saying, go on, lean in, and like building up to it, I was genuinely like leaning into my computer, even though I'm listening to headphones. But like, I was into it. I was really into it.
I did the same thing.
Just go on, lean in. I'm like, I'm leaning, right?
I'm leaning, damn it, tell me. The other two, when they did that Byron line, there was something weird about it that didn't quite work for me, but the way that you delivered it worked really well for me. I don't know what it was about the other two that I didn't – it was because it's kind of like an aside, like a little joke.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought his delivery of that worked really well, and the other two, it kind of felt a little like forced.
Yeah, like when – after you said that, I genuinely was just like, wow, I actually feel like he experienced that.
Kicking copies of Byron in his face.
Yeah, like I genuinely was just like, man, I could picture it.
I want to go back and watch a lot of these movies now. This has made me want to watch movies.
That's fantastic.
I
have so many movies I have to watch, but I don't know. It's never going to happen.
Did you pick a winner?
Yeah.
Who did you pick?
Russ.
I picked Russ as well. That's 20 more points. Team Utterly Absurd scores after this week, and there's only 2 weeks left after this. We've got Team Oscar 114.5, Team Bollywood 42, Team Utterly Absurd 196.5, and Team Heaven Sucks 70. Let's talk about what we're going to hear next week. And by we, I mean me. 90s, it's all from the 90s. 1990, Goodfellas. 1991, Beauty and the Beast. 1992, Reservoir Dogs. 1993, Philadelphia. 1994, Swimming with Sharks. 1995, Clueless. 1996, Waiting for Guffman. 1997, Chasing Amy. 1998, Ants. And 1999, The Blair Witch Project. I'm excited.
You should be excited.
I am excited. And I hope you are too, even though you won't be back next week. I hope you're excited for me.
I'm excited for you. I'm always excited for you.
Thank you. I'm excited for you too. And I'm excited. Never mind. Yeah, so
I'm excited in general. Yes, is what that meant.
Copper, thank you for doing the epic movie previews I've been playing on night. I'm gonna play one more to take us out. Thank you guys for submitting. Remember, everything's due Wednesday, 11:59 p.m. Eastern. From now on, we've moved days. Good night, everybody, and thank you, Scarlett. Oh, do you want to promote anything? Not that you're out of voice acting. Do you want to promote your bakery?
Do you
want to
promote anything? Sorry.
You want to plug your bakery?
Yeah. No, I don't. It's just some basic.
All right. Well,
yeah. I just want to say, guys, I'm sorry if I was a little bit crabby at the beginning. I didn't mean it that way. I almost wanted to say keep on rocking in the free world. And
wow.
Totally referencing Nardwar right now, which is really.
You make me sad.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Force. Force Have a good Scarlet. Night, guys. I'm Dylan Collins. Don't stop believing and keep on rocking in the free world.
Ladies and gentlemen, the first rule of Raw Club, you do not talk about Raw Club. Second rule of Raw Club, you do not talk about Raw Club. Third rule of Raw Club, if you get sick, your meal is over. Fourth rule, only 2 seconds. In the microwave. Fifth rule, one raw hot dog at a time, fellas. Sixth rule, no forks, no knives. Seventh rule, meals will go on as long as you're hungry. And the eighth and final rule, if this is your first night at Raw Club, well, you have to eat. From the creative team responsible for ground beef comes the next greatest film, Raw Club, coming this summer.